Wall Street took it on the chin for the third straight day as Europe continues to make investors anxious. This time, the
Arizona News Radio, the pilot of a helicopter hospitalized that crashed near the Raytheon plant in Tucson.
The helicopter subsequently went down about a mile and a half south of the airport. The pilot, who was the only person on board, was taken to a hospital.
870 pounds of marijuana seized by the Department of Public Safety at a West Phoenix home. Two people in custody.
This case is ongoing from previous situations where it has been linked with human smuggling and drug smuggling.
Customs and Border Protection officers seized nearly 128,000 pounds of illegal narcotics in the fiscal year.
An increase in manpower, technology, and infrastructure.
Maricopa County supervisors heard claims that Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio should be ousted because of botched sex cases.
Asking for Sheriff Arpaio's resignation based on faulty, inaccurate, and downright misleading statements.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic is brought to you by Children's Advil. 4 o'clock hour, gang. Look for a wreck. Loop 303 southbound at Camelback. We also have a collision. Guadalupe Road at Dobson. Look for an accident. Washington Street eastbound at I-10. You're going to have an accident off to the side eastbound I-10. That is at Sky Harbor. Nothing brings your child fever down faster or keeps it down longer. Choose Children's Advil. Relief that you can trust. And again, that's Children's Advil. Here's a look at your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Our first major winter storm is out of here, but not before leaving heavy snow measured in feet in some areas up in the high country and up to an inch or more of rain down here. Much needed. Looks like we're mostly sunny tomorrow on Friday with high 61 and then clouding up again for the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently we are at 57 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Hey there. Yeah, you. Listen up. You gonna start a digging project? I don't care if you're a pro or just a guy planting a tree in the yard. You need to call 811 before you dig to get the utility lines marked for free. Utility lines can be buried in yards, under streets, alleys, even beneath vacant land. You hit one of those, and believe me, you won't be happy. Keep the neighborhood safe and keep yourself free of fines and repair costs. Know what's below. Call 811 before you dig.
Your safety is our priority at Southwest Gas.
Pack of cigarettes.
You 18?
Hey, no one's gonna know.
It'll cost $300.
$300?
Look, that's the fine I pay for selling tobacco to kids.
I'm not paying $300 for cigarettes.
Neither am I, kid.
I'm Attorney General Tom Horn. Selling tobacco products to anyone under 18 is against the law, and anyone caught can be personally fined up to $300. If you sell tobacco to minors, you will pay the price.
Brought to you by Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
You know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000? Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath?
But have they no records, no results?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons?
Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, is tied up in court, as lawyers often are. Today on the show, we've got a bit of a scoop, dare I say it, from State Senator Michelle Regan, who's proposing some new legislation to deal with the ongoing mortgage debacle. Although, I think that's one of the issues I want to get into a little bit. I know that it's less of an ongoing debacle than it once was. I think things are getting a little bit better. We've also got on the show Paul Klimke from the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals, to give his viewpoint, something of an expert viewpoint on mortgages, at least an expert compared to me. I'm the exact opposite of an expert on this subject.
You'll do fine.
Thanks. So let's start by talking, Senator Regan. I know you said I can only call you that once in the show, so that's my one.
Especially since you're saying Regan and it's actually Reagan.
Is it Reagan?
But we'll forgive you since you just
– like the president?
Just graduated from law school.
Is there any relation?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Okay, well let's start by talking about your background a little bit. My understanding is that you have a personal interest in the mortgage fiasco. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, fortunately, it's not a personal interest anymore. But I actually was. If you Google me, you will see I was sued by my lender, Colonial Savings out of Fort Worth, Texas. And they sued me in U.S. District Court, which anyone who's been there, I'm sorry for you because it was awful.
It's really hot in there. You know, they have those misters inside.
It's very hot
in
there.
It's like a giant greenhouse.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
I was sued when I was and continue to be 100% current on my loan. Never missed a payment in my life and was still hauled off into U.S. District Court. And it took me about 16 months and a little over $40,000 of our savings to clear our name.
Right. You never.
So that's behind me now, thank gosh.
Yeah, sure. You never missed the payment, but they still sued you. And you were telling me earlier off the air the grounds were anticipatory repudiation, basically. They preemptively sued you. They sued you before you missed the payment.
Alleging
that you were about to and you're going to miss a payment.
Jack, the way you explain it actually is a much nicer way. They tried to scare the pants off me.
Yeah.
And, yes, they were afraid. They sued me for what's called rescission. They were afraid I was trying to rescind my loan.
Which means undo it. You're going to undo it.
Right. Yeah. Oddly enough, generally when people are trying to rescind their loan, they stop paying.
Right.
And
which you didn't do.
Which I didn't do. And to date, I'm the only person in the country that we've ever found that has been sued under such circumstances. And through the entire lawsuit, I continue to remain current.
Okay.
And I'm still current to this day. So.
Yeah. Probably the only person sued by that particular lender. Because for sure, that's something you could always, under any contract, you can sue somebody for anticipatory.
Sure, I could sue you if I don't like the color of your hair. But the fact is when you have a good paying customer, you certainly shouldn't haul them off into U.S. District Court and try to just destroy them, just scare them. And it's real, and it happens to people. And I lived it, and I'm not a black helicopter theory person. So I never knew the power of some of these bigger institutions and what they can do to people. They have armies of lawyers. I had to go hire one. It was very frightening. But through that, I will say, Jack, it was a learning experience where I probably know more now about this industry than any legislator at the Capitol.
Yeah, Paul, I think you have a comment on this.
Well, I was just curious. What was the final disposition? Did it go to trial and there was a judgment made, or was it? How did it finally resolve itself?
Well, I actually wanted it to go to trial because I kept saying I'd love a jury of my peers to hear what this out-of-state bank had done to me.
They wouldn't let that happen.
They didn't want that to happen. That would have been their worst case. I was pushing for a jury trial. I was willing to pay to go all the way to do that. But it ended up being a judge ordered a mandatory settlement conference.
Uh-huh.
And so we went into anyone been in a settlement conference, they stick you in different rooms and the magistrate runs back and forth, bangs heads together, comes up with an agreement. And that's what happened in our case. And then we went into court and read for the record what the agreement was. And then they sealed the record per the bank's request. And so it's kind of unfortunate because I'm not allowed to say what happened. Although I can tell you that basically I'm the same as what happened the day before I was served with those papers. Yeah. I mean, my loan did not change one bit.
So when was that suit filed?
Oh, boy. You have to do the math in my head. It was about three years ago.
Right. And at that time, you were a state representative.
I was a representative, yes. I was in the House.
Filled with that sense of injustice, you started working on this issue.
I became interested in this issue, but I was very careful to make sure that anything that I was doing at the Capitol didn't have anything to do with my lawsuit, because, first of all, I feel that would be completely unethical.
Right.
So I was very, very careful. But learning everything that I learned besides my lawsuit, because in order to defend yourself, you need to become informed.
Yeah.
And while informing myself, I learned so much about this industry and so much about what's really happening to people out there that I felt like the only thing I could do is take a negative and turn it into a positive. I went through something crappy that I would not wish on anybody. And if I don't use that information to create better legislation, then shame on me, because I'm in the position to do that. Not to say I'm always right, not to say that people don't disagree with me. That's fair game. But I have to do something, or else I feel like everything I went through is for nothing.
Okay. So while dealing with that lawsuit, you started to see what were some of the flaws, I guess, from a legislative standpoint in the system. And since then, you've come up with a proposal for new legislation. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
Well, I'm working on a proposal right now, which I haven't finalized, and it hasn't been officially dropped, which is when it becomes public. And that's not to be secretive. We're just working out a lot of loose ends. But basically, our intent is to create a program that connects investors, private investors, with Arizona homeowners who are underwater but still are current on their loans and have perfect credit or good credit. And I use me as an example. My personal information's out there, so it's no secret. I've got good credit. I pay my loans. I pay my bills on time. And I'm at a high interest rate right now, not extremely high, right under 7%. I can't take advantage of the lower interest rates that the market is affording right now because no bank will touch me because I'm underwater. And so this program is designed for people in that situation, the people who have been following the rules, and what I call the people who are committing the ultimate sin by paying their bills every month.
Right.
And that's my target audience, is those people, because we want to stop people from using the strategic default as a mechanism to preserve their wealth. There should be another way for you to be able to maintain what you've built up and stay in your home and continue making payments without looking on paper and strategically walking away. And we're seeing that a lot. You mentioned that you think that's coming to an end, and I'll let you ask that question, but I would beg to differ.
Yeah. I'm not an expert in mortgages by any means. That's why I have Mr. Paul Klimke here from the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals. But I do have one question right off the bat. When you say connect borrowers with private investors, what are you imagining exactly? What kind of?
I'd be interested to know who are the private investors? Are they individuals? Are they private banks? Are they community? Who are you thinking is going to provide the pool of money? Because I am in favor of all the creative solutions that we can come up with to help people. Because as a mortgage professional, I am tired of having good people that want to pay their bills, that want to take advantage of it.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to take a break here in a few seconds. So why don't we come back after the break and talk about that? I guess it's more or less the first step of what you're proposing.
First step, absolutely.
Okay, this is Jack Wilencheck on Legalese, KFNX 1100 AM.
Laura Ingram, mornings at 6 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilencheck & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilencheck & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilencheck & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case.
Got a case of the plotter or printer blues? Call the experts. Call the doctors. Plotter doctors can bring your printer back to life and is your prescription for saving you money on all your ink and toner supplies. Mention this ad for 30% off all repairs and special supply pricing. Visit plotterdoctors.com. P-L-O-T-T-E-R doctors.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
When it comes to fine jewelry, in every large city there is one jeweler who makes the difference. In the Phoenix metro area, that jeweler is London Gold. London Gold Jewelers is now offering you diamonds, accompanied with a certificate, at direct dealer cost. As the rest of the Valley Jewelers promote their sales, we at London Gold would like you to know that you can buy your loose diamond this holiday season at the very same price dealers pay across the country. That means more value for your money, more diamond for your money. And for the holidays, that adds up to a pretty brilliant gift and a very sweet surprise. London Gold, serving the Valley with 3 locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, and Scottsdale. Online at londongold.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
Log on now at 1100kfnx.com.
I try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone. They don't get paid to take vacations, they'll let me alone.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilencheck, your regular host Dennis Wilencheck, is tied up in court, as lawyers often are. We're talking about the mortgage debacle today. And we have on the show State Senator Michelle Reagan, as well as Paul Klimke from the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals. And right before we went to the break, I asked the question of Senator Reagan. I wanted to know, because she's described the legislation or the proposed legislation a little bit. Kind of the first step of it would be, you said, to connect or to have the state help in connecting borrowers, people with mortgage, with private investors who can assist in refinancing, basically. Is that an accurate statement?
That is correct. And Paul was asking who were, when I say investor, what do you mean? Do you mean an individual? Do you mean a group, a company? Well, Paul, the answer to that question is, what are investors now? They're anything. There are people who are individuals who are investors. We're talking about the very same groups or entities that bought the securitized packages. So they could be a pension fund. They could be a Chinese conglomerate. They could be an individual who's wealthy. There are investors out there that have money to invest, and there's no mechanism right now that's giving them a high interest rate of return. So this program is actually really only viable while interest rates are low, because we know when interest rates go up, investors are going to have other places to put their money. So right now it's a pretty safe place to put your money in an Arizona homeowner who, although underwater, is a good investment because they're doing the right thing, and they want to continue doing the right thing.
So to that end, your thought is that you would connect a homeowner with an individual, either investor or investment company, as opposed to currently the way investors purchase these mortgages is in large mortgage pools. Mm. There'd be a more one-to-one ratio.
There's a more one-to-one ratio, correct.
Okay.
And I don't really believe we'll be splitting people up into splitting loans into seven or eight different tranches, as we know now that lenders and banks have done.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. So in part, it's to get more of a focus on local, more of a local focus, local investors. Is that fair to say?
Well, it could be local investors. It could be investors could be banks. Investors could be community banks. The goal to me is to take the power of the value of homes away from Freddie and Fannie and put it onto a state level, because we know every state's different. And to put the actual transfer of money or the debt holding on the level of the community banks. Yeah. I personally believe that's where banking was always meant to be. That's where it was when my parents bought their first house. It was at the local community bank. I don't know that banking was ever meant to be something that was coming out of Washington, D.C. with with the big three.
Yeah.
And things split up and sold to people and different investment levels. And I don't know that that was ever, I've only been around 42 years, so I'm going to admit that I don't know everything. I don't know a lot, actually. But to me, that's not what banking is. Believe it or not, it used to be a very noble profession.
I still think it is.
And hopefully it will be in Arizona again very soon. The majority of our smaller local banks have done the right thing. The majority of them that have loans have worked with their borrowers. If you're lucky enough to be in a small community bank, the fact is when I got my loan, I didn't ask who it was going to get sold to. Lucky me, it got sold, to somebody in Texas.
Right.
So well, unlucky me, actually.
I'm going to throw this out there and feel free to shoot this down thoroughly. I'm doing some background research on the show. I read through all the regular stuff about the history of Fannie Mae, of GSEs, is that what they're called? It seems to me that the reason those were originally introduced was mostly what you're talking about. It was connecting borrowers with investors, but at a federal level. So is it fair to say that what you're trying to do here is to do the same thing but at more of a state level? At least you have that same intent of increasing liquidity, in other words, in helping people, actual borrowers, connect with investors. It's the same purpose, but you're not going to be doing the same thing, first
Correct.
Of all.
Correct. Same mentality, different methods.
Yeah.
First of all, and Freddie and Fannie, when they were started, was meant to be a short term. It was never meant to be around forever. They kind of went back on that. The way our program is actually set up is we want the program to start and for it to then wind down and go away.
Okay. Yeah.
It is designed to last only 10 years. And there's a lot of different formulas I could show you. Much too boring, I'm sure, for the folks driving around home from work. But
Kimmy, they've all got their calculators out while they drive.
It might distract them from texting.
Just don't do it in Phoenix. but the bottom line is that the method, the intent, yes, probably the same. The method, very different. For one, Freddie and Fannie are backed by the federal government, are backed by taxpayers. This, my program has no recourse to the state. It's not using taxpayer dollars. Freddie and Fannie securitize. My program does not do any securitizing. Freddie and Fannie have, when you're refinancing, have very large closing costs and very large fees associated. There's not those fees. This isn't set up to be a profit center. This is set up to, again, infuse private money into our state, into homeowners who are good risk, who need the help right now, who want to take advantage of lower interest rates, who aren't interested in gaming the system. It has, this program has a very large insurance fund component to it, larger than Freddie and Fannie have, actually, percentage-wise. It's a, we're trying to do everything we can so that the state and the taxpayers are not on the hook. Let's infuse private money into our state to good risk borrowers. And, you know, will I be successful? I have no idea. I'm going to try like heck. I know I have an uphill battle. I'm going to be going against the big banks. I'll be probably going against many parts of the media.
Yeah, you're telling me about that a little bit off the air. What's some of the response you've gotten so far from the organizations, from the banks you've talked to?
The biggest argument that I've gotten is that I'm not going to be allowed to do this because of federal guidelines. We haven't found such federal guidelines. The biggest thought is also that, and I could see this at first blush, how dare you, if you owe me $100,000, how dare you tell me that you're going to pay me $80,000 and I'm going to take it? And what's the state have any right forcing me to accept less than what I'm – and I get that. I get that. And in this program, we've designed arguments, answers to all those arguments. So the investors will be made whole. It's not going to happen overnight, but they will be made whole. Again, it's just, you kind of to understand this program, I think it's hard, but you have to take everything you know about traditional banking and mortgages and kind of set it aside for a second, because this is new and this is different. It's out of the box. And for people who criticize me, I guess I just say, criticize away, because poke holes in it. That's what we want, because that's the only way the legislation is going to be made better. Through the last 7 months while we've been designing this, I have spoken to a lot of people who love it and a lot who hate it. And everybody who's hated it, I've walked away from that meeting learning something and able to take and change the legislation and make it even better. And we're trying to dot all of our I's and cross all of our T's right now. So it could be, if done properly, it could be a national model for how lending is supposed to be. Bring it back down to the local level.
Yeah. Well, you know, on that same note, if you do want to call in, those of you listening out there, at 602-277-KFNX, that's 602-277-5369, and you can go ahead and ask a question of Senator Reagan. I have another question. Being the legal field, I like to get very technical with things. So if this legislation comes to pass, exactly what we'd be looking at here. We'd be looking at another state agency that people would apply to for help with what you're describing?
That's an excellent question. No, I'm not interested in expanding this anymore. It would be a private – it would be out for bid. This program would be out for bid to a private company, and it would be administered under a state agency. But the state agency – because you have to have – you need a state agency involved for one thing and one thing only, and that's title clearance. And we can go through that later if you wish.
Sure.
We all know clear title is a question out there. It's a – you know, banks will say there is no problem. Some in the media say there is no problem. Those who have lived it, I say try to find your note. If you can actually produce your piece of paper that says you borrowed that money back in 1979 or whenever, I will give you $100 because – I couldn't find mine. I did find it on the SEC website, and I found the people that it was parceled off to. But we have a looming problem with clear title, and I think that anyone in the industry would agree that that is a lawsuit we kind of don't.
Would you agree with that, Paul?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean. I mean, I understand the concept of clear title, but what is the looming problem that you think is there?
Looming problem that I think is there is that the true when they designed MERS and when they set MERS up and everything went through this electronic clearinghouse, it was supposed to track everything. It was supposed to track where
maybe
your notes
were
going.
Maybe we ought to, for the listeners, talk a little bit about what MERS is. MERS is the mortgage electronic registration system, you know, whereby we are able to track mortgages, which enable them to make the securitization possible without everybody having to run down and constantly re-record mortgages.
Right. Correct.
So,
the big question in many states, many attorney generals are state attorney generals are suing MERS as well as many lenders and or investors. Have they been keeping track of that? Is there such a thing as when you're transferring money, are you actually transferring the title as well? Hey, if I was going to go buy your car, Jack,
I just got a brand new car, by the way, a Chevy Volt.
If I was to go buy your old one, and I was to, you know, we'd have to go down to the MVD with a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to have it notarized, and we would be transferring that title with an actual piece of paper. That doesn't exist in mortgages. And I don't think that my esteemed colleague Paul would disagree.
No, it doesn't, but I'm not so sure it should either. I mean, I think one of the there's a couple of things, if I may. I think what you're trying to do is very noble, and I think it's important, as I said. But one of the things that I think we need to distinguish between is the parts of the system that do work extremely well as it is, as opposed to solving our interim crisis that we do have. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we want to go back and say we need to abolish all securitization. We need to abolish Fannie and Freddie. We need to abolish everything except community banks. If we do that, my fear is there isn't enough money in the community banks to serve the Arizona market, and it's going to create a shortage of funds, higher rates.
Okay. We got to take a break, but we'll come back with that. This is Jack Wilencheck on KFNX. My guests are State Senator Michelle Reagan and Paul Klimke from the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Tragetz. Senate Democrats are set to offer a new proposal to extend the payroll tax cut. A Democratic source says a provision for the tax income over $1 million will be dropped, the so-called millionaire's tax. The proposal came from a Wednesday afternoon meeting between Senate Democratic leaders and President Obama. U.S. troops continue to return home from Iraq, with the president in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, today to greet the latest wave. But on the occasion, criticism from Arizona Republican Senator John McCain. He says Mr. Obama's call for all troops to come home now will get harsh judgment in years to come.
I believe that history will judge this president's leadership with the scorn and disdain that it deserves.
In the midst of an investigation into the suspected hazing death of a Florida A&M drum major, authorities say they've uncovered possible fraud at the school. Officials will launch a separate investigation. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, a helicopter pilot is hospitalized in Tucson. The aircraft crashed shortly after taking off from the Raytheon plant, but it was tough to get to.
The area has received a lot of rain over the last few days, and conditions were very muddy on the ground. So responding crews had some difficulty getting back to the scene.
Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery says he'll make public the result of his investigation into alleged illegal activity at the Fiesta Bowl next week.
I'll lay out the entire analysis and our conclusions to include charging.
Opponents of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio go before the Board of Supervisors, saying that he's not dealt with sex cases properly.
Illegal immigration, sweeps, that's all he thinks is about. You know, he's a one-trick pony. We need to get beyond that. We need a law enforcement officer who cares about children.
The Arizona Snowball officially opens this Friday.
We did receive about 12 inches of new snow here from this previous storm system, allowing us to get the slopes open for the 2011-2012 winter season.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of 1-800-SAFE-ON. Look for an accident off to the right, southbound loop 303 at Camelback. We also have a wreck east Roosevelt Avenue at 43rd Avenue. Wreck for Thomas Road and I-17. Watch for a collision Washington Street at eastbound I-10. In times like these, when gas prices are through the roof, you might think twice about buying car insurance. But get caught and the massive fines and penalties will cost you way more. In other words, state minimum coverage from State Farm from 1-800-SAFE-AUTO could save you a boatload, gang.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Our first major winter storm is out of here, but not before leaving heavy snow measured in feet in some areas up in the high country and up to an inch or more of rain down here. Much needed. Looks like we're mostly sunny tomorrow and Friday with high 61 and then clouding up again for the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently we are at 57 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the five most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
ScreenMobile in Scottsdale realizes that this season is a time to celebrate, a chance to get out and have fun with friends and family without worrying about tomorrow. But tomorrow may never come if you've had too much to drink. Remember, stay alive. Don't drink and drive. This message courtesy of ScreenMobile. Where service is more than a word, it's a priority. ScreenMobile is serving you with two locations in Scottsdale and Phoenix. Call 480-502-1300. That's 480-502-1300 for ScreenMobile. It's that time of year again to shop for those hard-to-buy-for friends and family. 21 Degrees Cigars has something for everyone, from the aficionado to the person trying their first cigar. 21 Degrees Cigars offers a great selection of cigars, humidors, ashtrays, lighters, cutters, and gift packages. If you don't know what to buy for that special person, 21 Degrees Cigars also has gift cards. Come visit 21 Degrees Cigars, located in Scottsdale, at the northwest corner of North 100th Street and Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard. Mention KFNX Radio and get 10% off your purchase. Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilenchek, is tied up in court. Today on the show, we're talking about the mortgage debacle. And I have State Senator Michelle Reagan, as well as Paul Klimke from the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals. Senator Reagan is proposing legislation that will help. My take on it, as I said earlier in the show, is that even though it's absolutely no way is it similar. Does it have any of the same things that Fannie and Freddie do? It's at least trying to do the same thing, which those way back when were supposed to do, which is to help borrowers, you know, find people to help them refi to help them pay. So she's still trying to work out the particulars in that legislation. And that's what we're here to talk about. Before we went to the break, I said that if you have a question, feel free to call in. Let me get your opinion on this. Do you think that underwater homeowners should be helped, or should market forces just sort that out? Number 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. And Senator Reagan, I think you said that you wanted to respond to that question yourself.
Well, actually, Jack, it's a very valid point. Market conditions absolutely should be in play, are in play here, and will continue to be in play. And we need to watch how much interference we throw into the marketplace, because, yes, we know that the market will correct itself. It will never probably, and you know, get back to where it was, nor probably should it get back to the levels that it was at in 2005. But the goal is to keep people in their homes until it can get corrected, where people feel, because the goal for me is, let's stop the people who want to strategically default. Let's stop that. If you're looking on paper and you take morals and contracts out of it, it makes no sense to be chasing good money after bad right now. And I'm not an advocate for strategic default, but if you're underwater and you're paying every month on a home that is never going to get back to the value that you have borrowed on, it makes no sense to stay in that house. We have got to come up with a mechanism where people have confidence that there is value to stay in that home. I mean, we know that, yes, there's a moral value and there's a value to your neighbors and a value to keeping your kids in the same school. But, you know, I live in Scottsdale. And when you're at a cocktail party and you've got some very well-to-do couples bragging about how long they haven't paid their mortgage when they can actually afford to pay, we've got a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's because there's no other alternative. Paul had mentioned earlier, it's, you know, that there's some things the system does very well, and I agree. I'm not advocating throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not advocating getting rid of banks. I'm not advocating stopping securitization. It's a hard thing to say at the end of the day. I'm not advocating for it, but let's give somebody, let's throw another alternative out there. Another alternative is just competition. And isn't that what basically the free market's all about? We're introducing, it's voluntary. You don't like it, don't participate. But there has to be other options besides the traditional one-size-fits-all loan out there, you know, where you either fit or you don't fit. There has to be other options for people, or they're going to continue to do what we're seeing all over the valley, but now most notably in some higher income areas where people can actually afford to pay. And they're saying this makes no sense.
Well, one thing I think that's pretty important and I think impressive about what you're trying to do is that this is a slow motion train wreck right now, because, you know, until we come up with a solution for the underwater homeowner that is essentially either renting their home or just, you know, paying in excess above what it would cost to rent their home, you know, this is going to linger on and on and on. And until we come up with a solution, it's going to be waiting there for something to happen. It's going to, and it's ultimately going to prevent a real recovery if we don't find a solution for it.
Yeah. Well, that's something I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and we might as well talk about it a little bit. Things are getting better, according to what I've seen. I see that, I guess, the rate of foreclosures has been slowly decreasing, going from 21% in 2009 percent of what? I'm not really sure I understand that statistic, but it's getting better.
It's typically a percent of total mortgages serviced.
Okay.
And, you know, Jack, I share your enthusiasm for that. Yes, there are we are seeing some positive signs. What frightens me is the numbers that I've studied, and perhaps Paul could shed some light on if it was really as bad as what I've been reading, the number of people out there right now that are in 5-year interest-only ARMs and what happens when those end. And a lot of those end in 2012 and 2013. And so we're seeing, I hope it's a long-term, what we're seeing is for a long-term, but I fear that we're seeing a very short-term reprieve. And that once those ARMs end and people are, their payments go up even higher, we're going to see another round of foreclosures. And this isn't going to be the outlying areas of our state where they, you know, they did massive building and stuff. This is going to be more in the heart of Maricopa County.
If I could address that for a second, because there's been a lot of publicity about that. And what you need to understand is there's not all ARMs are created equal, if you will. The standard conventional Fannie Freddie ARM, an ARM, your rate is made up of two things. It's made up of an index and it's made up of a margin. And in the standard Fannie Freddie ARMs, the margin typically was 2%, 2.25%. And the index is, you know, you hear the one-year LIBOR, the five-year LIBOR. A lot of those ARMs that were taken out in that time period were standard Fannie and Freddie ARMs. The good news is when they adjust, they go down. I personally took out a loan about 6 years ago that was a 3-year ARM. It was 7.5% interest when I took it out. It's at 3 right now. So that's a good thing. Now there is
scored.
Well, there is a concern, but I honestly think it's overplayed in the media, and I'm really not concerned about it. The other ARMs that happened extensively in 2004, 2005, and then they started ending in 2006, were in the what we call the, you know, non-conforming. This is where we had the stated loans, the no-doc loans. Those ARMs very often would have a margin of 6 or 7%. So when they adjust, they will adjust based on the index, which might be only half a point right now or one, and then they may end up at being at 6. People that are in those loans, I think the people that were in those loans, most of those people have already defaulted. I don't think that there's this impending rush of defaults because of ARMs adjusting.
See, that's good. That's good.
I really don't. I think there's people that were in that, a lot of those people are already out of their houses, they're out of the loans, they've been foreclosed on, and that's gone. So I don't think that's coming as much. I may be wrong, but that's
my opinion. I hope you're not wrong, because believe me, I love this state, and I plan on staying here a long time. So some of the things that I read about, I say, oh gosh, I hope that's not the case. And so you're a bright spot in my day, Paul.
We've got a caller on the line here, Les from Phoenix. Les, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead and tell us what's on your mind.
I have a question. Of course, Bo Biden, from the Attorney General from Delaware, is really on this thing, too, with MERS. I don't know if people are aware of that, but he's very active in it. The question that I have is, there's many county recorders around the country now that are being duped out of their filing fees, but they're still responsible for the records. Do you happen to know, in Maricopa County, how much money the county recorder's office has not taken in because of the lack of filing by MERS?
Les, this is Michelle, and you've touched on something that we could probably talk about for 2 hours. You bring up a really valid point. Yes, we are losing a lot of money. Do I have a figure? No.
That's a figure I think we should get, because
It's taking money out of the local economy. You're using MERS instead of the traditional recording process that was set up just for this, for this purpose. So,
there was an interesting case. I wasn't there, but I know people in Tucson were there with Bank America, I think it was, and a fellow was trying to defend his own mortgage. And the judge in Tucson, he got so exasperated, he knew he was losing. And at the end of the day, and this happened in April of last year, maybe it have been 2009. No, time goes so fast you can't even buy green bananas anymore. But at the end of the deal, he got so frustrated, he finally asked the lawyers if Bank America owned the loan, and they said no. And the judge was just dumbfounded. I could find the judge's name. I don't have it right now. But at the end, he continued it, and he said, I can only award the house to the person who owns it. I can't give it to anyone else. And as far as I know, almost 2 years now, that case is still open.
Yeah.
These things are...
We're seeing this all over the country. I'm glad that you called in, because it's...
thanks for the call, Les.
Another interesting guy, Dave Krieger, out there. He's written a book called Clouded Titles, and he's working with several attorneys throughout the country right now.
I have read that Clouded Titles book, and...
And he is excellent, Dave Krieger.
He's actually sold out on Amazon right now.
Okay, thanks. I was just curious, though. I think that what's very important in this day and age where all the political subdivisions are running out of money, that we're, they're being duped out of this money, and I use that term loosely. I can't think of any other better term right now, by MERS, by not recording these things. And then what happens is then all of us are stuck going around in circle after circle after circle, and like I think you said, it costs you something like $40,000 to defend yourself for something that should have never been in federal district court.
Yeah. You sound like a lawyer yourself, Les. Am I on the money?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Thanks so much. All right, we got to take a break. This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese on KFNX. My guests are State Senator Michelle Reagan and Paul Klimke from the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals.
OnQ Financial. Mortgages simplified. Getting a mortgage is a complicated process. We make it simple. Call Margo Rockus and Jeff Wild at 480-444-7123 for all your mortgage needs. OnQ Financial is a licensed Arizona mortgage banker, MB number 0906866. Margo Rockus, originator number 258961. Jeff Wild, originator number 257881. Equal housing lender, OnQ Financial. We make it simple. 480-444-7123.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601, 602-762-2601, 602-762-2601.
He's the voice of choice. Lou Dobbs leads the independent nation. Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Willinchek, is tied up in court. We're talking with State Senator Michelle Reagan, as well as Paul Klimke from the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals. Senator Reagan has some proposed legislation to deal with the ongoing mortgage crisis, although I hesitate to call it a crisis because from what we're hearing, it's getting better. So you were telling me, Paul, before off the break there, that you've got another concern that you'd like to talk about.
Well, I think it comes down to people taking personal responsibility and making decisions that they want to stand by. You know, what Michelle is proposing is innovative and different. I think, you know, as she's finding out, as she tries to wind her way through the bankers and the different people that are going to be involved in it, it's a very complex issue. But more power to her if she can come up with a way that can help solve the problem. But people need to make some firm decisions and decide what is it they really want to do. Do they really want to stay in their home, or do they want to not stay in their home?
Right.
One of the concerns, we talked a little bit earlier about you know, people that pay their bills and have never missed a payment and have good credit scores being a good risk. There was something that happened in the marketplace starting about 2.5 years ago, where FHA, when the rates really started going down, FHA offered a very efficient refinance, very low cost. And you didn't have to prove income, you didn't have to prove assets, you didn't have to prove anything. And lots of people were refinancing, taking the rates from 6 down to 5, maybe 4.75, whatever it was at the time. And one of the things that we found is 6 months later, we started seeing these people defaulting on their loans because even though they dropped their payments, even though they got the rate lower, they thought, this is terrific. My rate's lower, my payment's lower, I can take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
What they inevitably end up doing is whatever the margin is, if they save $300, it isn't long before that $300 is in an ATV, it's in a couple big screens, it's whatever it is. People will typically, that goes into debt service and somewhere else. 6 months later, they're looking at themselves, they don't have any more money, and they're still upside down in their house, and then they walk. So the highest percentage of foreclosures that we had in our company out of that period were people that previously had 700 FICO scores and never missed a payment. So there is a risk to that, and that's why people have to make the decision of what is it they really want to do.
Right. And it's all pretty simple. I mean, my dad likes to say something about the law. You know, it's all common sense. Same thing with investments, same thing with all this mortgage stuff. You know, in the end, if you don't want to make the payment, I mean, you're right. You got to make that decision yourself. But go ahead.
Well, and the other concern, I think it's important that people are vocal with state and national legislatures too, because there's a lot of noise out there. There's, you know, Fannie and Freddie just announced new changes to the HARP refinance, H-A-R-P, Home Affordable, and I'm
HARP 2.
HARP 2, yeah, that HARP 2. So we read the documents and we find out it's no big thing. There's nothing.
It is absolutely no big thing.
It is something that the administration can say, look what we've done, but they've done absolutely nothing to help anybody new. And so you need to be vocal. You need to support efforts to try to help people and make your voice known.
Well, I agree with you, Paul, on the personal responsibility angle. I mean, the situation we're in right now. We can't point fingers and say, oh, it was all the banks, or oh, it was all the lenders, or all the homeowners. We all share culpability.
There's plenty of blame to go
there
around.
There is. My husband has a funny saying, and he said one time when we were talking about this, he said, fine, homeowners may be drug addicts, but it was banks passing out the free heroin and the free needles. But the fact is, yes, there is personal responsibility. What I like to point out is that it's actually that personal responsibility that people still feel in this state that is the only thing that's holding our system up right now. Because once the PNI, I call them the Michelles, because that's the ones that are paying and following the rules, even though it bites every month at our pocketbook. I made a commitment. I want to honor that. and I feel I have a moral obligation to. You take away that personal responsibility, we're really in trouble, because that's the only thing that's forcing me to write my check every month.
Yeah, for certain. So we've talked about, I guess we never really got beyond step one of this proposed legislation, or do we? Is there more?
So you'll
to
have
it?
To come have me back. There's many steps to it. Yes, that's the first and the biggest.
Okay. We talked about it a little bit off the break. There's another intricacy, dare I call it, to this. You're talking about that insurance fund that I guess is important to the way this works. If you'd like to talk about
the insurance fund component of this program is actually vital to the way it works, and it's an insurance fund just like any other insurance fund that's set up. A portion of everyone's payments go into an insurance fund to be there to protect the investors against it. Because you got to remember, these people are going to be loaning money on a $200,000 house that may only be worth $150,000. So what's their protection? Their protection is, one, they're dealing with people that want to stay in their homes by evidence of the fact that they've continued to pay. But two, there is an insurance fund component, a very large one. In fact, percentage-wise, it's larger than what is required Freddie and Fannie have. So then that's an important piece, and that's also an important piece so that there's no recourse to the state or recourse to the taxpayers, because I don't want this to turn into something that ends up costing my state anything. There's enough investor money out there, if allocated and directed properly, that it doesn't need to fall on taxpayers.
Let me ask you this: are there any other initiatives in the legislature that you're aware of that are on the same subject that you'd like to tell us about?
I've heard of unfortunately, the go-to person on this issue at the legislature. I've heard of several things being proposed. Some of them are fascinating. I don't know where they are, if they're going to be introduced or where they are in the process, but I have heard of an idea when you're refinancing your home, when you call an appraiser, that the appraisers can't take into account foreclosures or short sales in your neighborhood if there's something else comparable to compare it to. That might help bring the values a little higher for people in order to refinance. We don't know if that's going to run afoul of some of the federal rules regulating appraisers.
Yeah.
But again, we're living in strange times, people. Any ideas? They're welcome. But I do have somebody looking into that and working with the appraisers. There's also some legislation that has to do with taking into account one of the arguments that the home builders have is taking into account all the upgrades that a house has in energy efficiency and stuff like that isn't included in appraisals. That can help raise the value enough to get it refinanced. There's a lot of ideas out there. How far any of them will get, whether they turn into legislation, I only know what I'm working on. But it looks like Paul wants to say something.
Well, one thing, just with all the complexities out there, the one thing I just want to encourage people about the industry these days, there's a vast difference in the quality of people that are in the industry these days that are offering to help consumers. Mortgage bankers, mortgage brokers, we are, you know, when all this went down, none of us were regulated by anybody. But now your mortgage brokers, mortgage bankers are required to be educated, required to be tested, licensed by the state, relicensed. And I teach the relicensing courses, and I've taught about 5 of them this fall. I have yet to find anybody come into my class that's got less than 5 years experience. The point is, don't try to figure this out yourself. Count on your mortgage professionals, and there's lots of them out there, through the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals, through the Arizona Mortgage Lenders Association, the Mortgage Bankers Association. Find a professional to help you sort out what your options are, because there are options out there. Not everybody is hopeless and helpless.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's bring back to your potential legislation. Do you have any doubts that this bill will pass, or you know,
I have a lot of doubts.
Yeah.
I go to the very beginning of the show, and it's probably do I have hope? Absolutely. I'm either going to end up on the cover of Time magazine or in a very shallow grave. Let's be serious. No, I'm going to give this my all because I feel it's my duty. I've learned something that I kind of, in some ways, wish I never learned. But it's an out of the box proposal, We have people all over the state looking at it, from economists to securities dealers to, you know, fine, poke holes in it. I want to know the holes. The last thing I want to do is introduce something that makes our situation worse or that is bad for the taxpayers. And so we've spent 7 months vetting this. It's not perfect today. We'll be perfect tomorrow after our round of meetings tonight. But, I say it's 50-50. Can I get it through? I've gotten harder things through, but will it get signed by the governor? I have no idea.
Well, I just want to let Michelle know, you might not know it yet, but you're already on the cover of Time magazine. The Times Person of the Year is the protester.
Hey,
but I'm not a protester.
Right.
You want change, and that's what you're going after. You want change.
Don't put me in that category.
I like that. All right. I want to thank my guests today, State Senator Michelle Reagan, as well as Paul Klimke from the Arizona Association of Mortgage Professionals. This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, will be back next week.
We reached a new era in real estate. Is real estate still a part of the American dream? The experts are speaking a new language. Tune in to Real Estate Talk with Scott Whitwam, Saturday at 7 a.m. on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Hi, I'm Marshall Trimble, Arizona's official state historian, urging you to look for Arizona's official centennial mascot, the Copper Chopper, a custom motorcycle like you've never seen before. And you can win it, too. Stop by any Circle K or visit az100years.org for a chance to win. It's Arizona's own Copper Chopper.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Finding insurance coverage that fits can be confusing, but with the right help, you can see the bigger picture and be better prepared no matter what life sends you. I'm Richard Saling, your local agent with InSphere Insurance Solutions. We provide people with affordable and complete insurance solutions from highly rated companies designed to fit your needs and budget. Contact me, Richard Saling, at 602-206-3911 to get the solutions you need with the service you deserve.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays at 1 p.m. on KFNX. KFNX News Time.